In the hyper-realization of utopia and endless simulations, I will not give myself over to my own destruction by creating the reality of details without having the ideas. Rather, I shall offer a hierarchy, in other words, value. This is introducing alternative ways of having an effect on others by unspectacular means. Reality is no longer dominated by a permanent, central, hierarchical ordering principle. Instead, all elements are equal. It acts as a creative illusion, as a social theater of popular culture, and communicates only through non-communication. These images are supposed to reinvent social reality into the shape of a dream world, a hyper-realized utopia. It never reached that utopist point yet, where things begin to get really exciting when the utopia is tested. Can we ask what kind of social model this piece produces? Could I live, for instance, in a world structured by the organizing principles of it? This is written from the point of view of an organizer and participant. The individual does not speak, the organization does. The work is industrial, the language political. I want to found the establishment of industrial poetry, and from this I will create establishments of immediate destruction. When the objects dare to speak, how are they heard? As complaints? As complainers? As complaining. Through representation, the imaginary world visualized in these images becomes even more knowable than the real world. Representation thus stands for a world that is ultra-organized, employing abstract elements that make it possible to systematize the concrete reality. Everything that we see could be different. Everything that we can even describe could be different. The language of power and its symbols. Made objects are language, if language is vocabulary and the way we use it. The practice of thinking through images as substitute realities falls under representation. Representation is a social practice that establishes an image as authority over reality, where the reality of the real is always a function of an image. Knowledge becomes a system of references in which the others are the objects, not the subjects. Spoken about, not spoken to. The quest for autonomy is one from the depth that controls our future, from the neo-capital economic imperatives, privatizing our souls from the oppressive surveillance, forcing us to assume commercialized subjectivities. I know that somewhere everything I do and will do, think and dream of is recorded. I just hope nobody will use it against me. In times of visual hyperproduction and unlimited digital circulation, the image and representation as such have lost their power. This is why political issues on the field of representation, media, can only reach its public if backed up by a successful marketing strategy. Life becomes solely a media image. Mass media misinform the public and act as the extended arm of the monopoly inside political and cultural structures. How does our environment feel like? We live in such a bubble today. The world around us is completely chaotic, and we created a dangerous trick which creates illusions that hide this chaos. The symptoms of decivilization in our society can't be ignored. Many things go terribly wrong, and people can feel that we live in a time of transition. The old world is dying, the new one isn't born. For one to whom the real world becomes real images, mere images are transformed into real beings. The symbols simulate an artificial reality as a hyper-reality instead of depicting the real world. It is public art for industrial societies. It is the opposite of luxury goods to the rich. Its function as a public art form is to be critical of the society in which it is situated. How far is the vision of a participative and negotiable cultural identity performable in a context where cultural identity has the notion of national, religious, or ethnic identity? Religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature, the heart of the heartless world, and the soul of the soulless condition. It is the opium of the people. People are scared of laziness and persecute those who accept it, and it always happens because no one realizes laziness is the truth. I am continually forced to support myself through physical labor. Life has been replaced by non-living. This is the space of dead labor, where life no longer follows its own course and becomes alienated from itself. Nowadays, artists are not lazy and therefore not artists, but rather producers of something. I have gone bankrupt. The cultural self-exploitation of the creative subject on the one side and the creation of cultural identities that consume cultural production on the other side seem like two entities of economic profit. There emerges a crystalline world responsive only to numerical imperatives, formal manipulation, and financial control. Politics, science, and religion can do what art no longer can: achieve a connection with reality by producing useful tools. Tools for the implementation of power and knowledge. As a consequence, the work is automatically political in implication and emancipatory in effect. The work of art is a social form capable of producing positive human relationships. The time has come to stop making sense, to replace history with myriad exaggerated theories of post, para, quasi, and super. History has been defeated by the determinisms of market and numbers, by the processes of reification and abstraction. The totalitarian lie, which fulfills itself through prediction into the truth, is the politically most efficacious form of the lie. We live in a simulated society in which control, symbols, and reality become indistinguishable. The problem with simulation is that it can be whipped clean. So too can much of the architecture which we are now surrounded by. It may look fresh right now, in a moment, but it contains none of the promise of a future which people have made themselves. And soon it will be knocked down and immediately forgotten about. Instead of a utopian agenda, today's artists seek only to find provisional solutions in the here and now. Instead of trying to change the environment, artists today are simply learning to inhabit the world in a better way, instead of looking forward to a future utopia. We are stuck in a present which is incapable of imagining a bold future of its own. It is easier now to imagine the end of the world than the end of capitalism. My proposition is the dialogue: we do not exist alone. This structure is a total of relationships in which elements can change, but stay dependent from the whole. There's no start, no middle, and no end. Structures formally organize reality. They are opposite to the single-structured elements and are independent definite subjects, suppressing subjectivity and expressiveness in favor of practical systems, such as the utilization of neutral, repetitive patterns, seeks to create art that is simple and self-evident. The war between materialism and idealism. A simulacrum reconstructs an object through recomposing and recombining. A world gets created similar to the first, but slightly changed. Reducing art to mere props exposes art's commodification, the rendering of culture as spectacle, and capitalism. For more enjoyment and greater efficiency, consumption is standardized. In a world where everything is shopping, and shopping is everything, luxury is quite simply not shopping. Luxury is about an absence of pressure to consume, an absence of pressure to sell. What about the ones that cannot take part in a special kind of culture because they cannot afford it? Products are hardly just devices or physical apparatuses, but various services and interconnections that quickly become the dominant or exclusive template of one's social reality. Art as an instrument for constructing society and reality. Isn't everyday life, school, working conditions, what kind of products we have in our stores and for which price, as well part of our culture? What if a cultural identity doesn't want or is not able to participate? If we lived in a more poetic era, we would have to write an ode to the moment, but things being as they are, we can only give a cool and objective account. Structures only pretend to be decipherable messages. Are images just the self and the object is the answer? Is the object more alive than the self? Do we only want the object because it's a possession of things outside of ourselves? Is the object alive without us making it another? Is it a question of denomination of our objects? Is it a matter of hyperrealization of utopia and endless simulation? Hyperrealization is usually the jump between industrial culture, the real, and post-industrial culture, which is hyperreal. Culture does not reflect society, but produces it. Art is something that's elevating and challenges the existing order, whereas culture is precisely the opposite. Culture or the culture industry use art in a conservative way, which is to say it uses art to uphold the existing order. This ideology is consumerism. It is the act that carries the poetics. Today, there is no longer the need of the shift from the subject to the object, as poetry makes itself in the act of making. True art is unable not to be revolutionary, not to aspire a complete and radical reconstruction of society. Evidently, art produces states of helplessness and generates questions for which there are no answers. Art has the power to name and define, to intervene in the workings of culture, exert pressure on elements of the social structure by turning them into artifacts. And every artifact is, after all, an apparatus for actively modeling fragments of reality. One of the reasons for the alienation of art is that it relies on the language of images. Texts simulate the imagination. When we read, we see images, a mosaic of visualizations emerging from the memory and superimposed onto the text. Therein lies the blankness of words. A word is not the things it names. Images are bolder in the way they refer to the object depicted. No image is alone. Every image sits in relation to all other images, which have been and will be made, and therefore also all images which have not and will never be made. Images cannot be singular. Images are only valuable in relation to other images. Old patterns, structures, codes, and rules are no longer natural or reliable. There are too many and they contradict each other. The challenge today is to discover new patterns or to put old structures into a new order. The basic elements could endlessly be recombined in differing polycentric compositions depending on the requirements of the local environment. Structural frameworks, no compositions. Surfaces filled with similar objects, you cannot differentiate them. The image happens everywhere. Images and objects come together to form coherent but flexible ensembles. Images convey nothing but their own autonomy. They are no servants of any state or ideology. The image serves as a memory bank, a transposer, and a medium. This image has no place of occurrence, it happens everywhere. Seriality is not only an analytical structural feature. As a strategy aimed at anonymization and de-individualization, it is a form of aesthetics and political appropriation of the world. It's demystifying the role of the other and bringing about democratization. Everything is by default gray. Default gray is a metaphor for the futility or identity politics under neo-capitalism and the renewed urgency of finding a moment of rupture in the familiar domestic. It's the most democratic way of analyzing textures and material. Are these images embraced as democratic in structure? Structures are ideal places. They are widely subconscious and virtual. Only in repetition, in the return, structures emerge which appear as a symbolical order. There is neither pure individuality nor pure collectivity. The structure is only a simulacrum of the object, anticipating the imitation of the object, which in nature would be invisible. These images are neither paintings nor sculptures, and they start and end with themselves. The essentially distant object is the unapproachable one. Unapproachability is indeed a major quality of the cult image. These images serve as logos, as commercial. Is this a common visual denominator of various identities, an icon of belonging, or just a meme that is notoriously copied without an awareness of its origins? The object of this vision, the thing that is looked at, seems to be lacking a self of its own. It is in fact an image. No image is scared. Every image is a script from which new images can be produced. Every image is a script from which new texts can be produced. Every text is a script from which new images can be produced. Every text is a script from which new texts can be produced. Images have no rights or privileges. They are means, not ends. The world is described as a utopian grid of abstract flows and systems. Communicating through ideas as pieces of work, as information which brings into question the very nature of communication. We are no longer about making objects, we have to see objects in terms of some other kind of relationship to ourselves, more something that we share the world with. Reality now widely consists of images or other things, constellations and processes formerly evident as images. The new is nothing less than the given intellect to the object. Encounters are more important than the individuals who compose them. All relationships that permit dialogue are automatically assumed to be democratic and therefore good. But what does democracy really mean in this context? Today's working conditions demand a maximum of flexibility and self-organization. Laziness is the absence of movement and thought, total amnesia. It is sheer stupidity, a time of pain, futile concentration. Knowing about laziness is not enough, it must be practiced and perfected. To work is shameful, I said, and I will say it again. Work after a certain amount of effort leads to a game without ideas. Observing is more valuable. Work dominates value. I don't want to go where work leads me. Our social reality is not objective. It originates by how we talk about it. If we, for example, use verbal images which people divide into valuable and less valuable, then those images can fast become part of our social reality again. Each era becomes a hyper-realization of the preceding era, which in turn is assigned the value of reality. The consequence of the trauma of being used is refusal. Which place does art take in our world? Can we expect something from it? If yes, then what? Does art have real goals? Does it have an effect on reality? By damaging art itself, it is able to question the idea of what art is. I have buried art as such, and now ask you to let thought live for your actions.